All right, if you could find Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, that'll be our text for today. If you're able to stand with me as I read these verses in your hearing. We ask God's blessing on our time here together. Romans chapter 5. Verses 1 through 5. Reads this way. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Yes. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned.
Yes.
Verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Amen. God help us now, please, as we look to your word, as we look to you. Speak, Lord. Your people listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
You
may be seated. All right, so our subject for today is right thinking leads to right service, okay? Right thinking leads to right service. You know that people's actions are a result of thoughts, right? People's actions are a result of reasoning. Whether good or evil, whether right or wrong, what people do is a result of what they think.
Amen.
Right? Jesus in Matthew 15 said, it's out of the heart comes evil thoughts and murder and adulteries and sexual immorality and theft. Okay? It wasn't just an accident. People convince themselves that they need to steal.
Amen.
Or they convince themselves that they need to commit sexual immorality or some other immoral act. Right? It comes from thinking and reasoning. And the thing about it is that everybody feels like they can justify. Right? The proverb writer said, says that the way of man is right. Every way of man is right in his own eyes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? So anybody can convince themselves that what I did was okay. And we've all seen it. And we've all been on that end of it ourselves.
Yes.
Justifying, even when we've done wrong. The thing about it is that with unbelievers make decisions solely based on natural understanding. Right? It's what seems right to me.
Amen.
It's based on the natural, what I hear, what I see, what smell, taste, you know, natural reasoning. Okay? In other words, it's my opinion that something is right or wrong. You ever had that discussion with people? That's your opinion, that's what they say.
Amen.
This is my opinion. Because they're spiritually dead, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Now, this is very important. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but could you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2? If you've never seen this, this is very, very important to know when you're dealing with unbelievers, okay? The Bible says that unbelievers are spiritually dead.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And so for you to expect them to respond like a Christian is unrealistic.
Amen.
And what did we do? You talk and you expect this response from them as if you're talking to another Christian. And you know, you're throwing out verses and it's no value. Right? 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Now, and here's the reason. You see what it says? For they are folly to him, And you've seen that, right?
Yes.
They can read the same Bible that you're reading, but and you've ever heard them say, that don't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Why do you all believe this? Yeah. Why would you all do this? You see? That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to them, right? But then look at this is very important. Look at what verse 14 says. And he is not able.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see it? You got that?
Yeah.
He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned.
Yes.
If you aren't spiritually alive, then you can't. You can read it. You can see what it says, but he's saying you don't understand it.
Amen.
I don't understand
Amen.
Why y'all making such a big deal out of it. You ever had people say,
yes, sir.
Why are you making such a big deal out of this? It's not that big of a deal.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just treated the company out of $30. It's not that big of a deal.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You see? I'm only driving 15 miles over the speed limit. What's the big deal?
Yes.
You're right.
Right?
You're right.
That's the reasoning. Because there's no life in them. So doing right and wrong depends upon the situation. You remember that situation, Anthony?
Yeah,
right.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Right. And so they're spiritually dead. But the believer, now, on the other hand, is instructed not to depend upon our natural understanding, right? Right, Proverbs 3? Trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
What? All your heart, do not lean on your understanding.
Yes, sir.
And don't say, this is the way I see it. This is the way it looks to me. Don't lean on that.
Uh-huh.
Because God says that you've been wrong enough times, you ought to know that you can't trust the way you see it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yet we do it what?
Yes,
over
yes,
and over. No, I mean, all of us, come on now.
Yeah.
We do it over and over again.
Yes.
So we're having to learn what God means.
Mm.
Mm. You have to learn that there's no better way than God's. Learn it. It's a hard lesson. You don't just wake up and you got it. You
Amen.
Learn it.
Amen.
You learn it through trials and tests and difficulties.
Come on.
Right?
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
Believers have been made alive, though. And we can spiritually discern God's truth, right? The Bible actually says we've been given the mind of Christ, or a better or way to say that, we've been given the understanding of Christ. We can understand what God is saying.
Yeah.
Isn't it wonderful to be able to say Jesus is Lord?
Yeah.
He really is.
Yeah.
People are wondering, well, this is mystical. That's a man wrote that Bible. Why do y'all believe that? No, you're saying this is God.
Yeah.
God. I was having a discussion at the gym just the other day. One guy that says he come out of the Catholic faith, and he said he's a Jew, then he converted to Catholicism, and he used to believe the Bible, but he does not. And he says, well, there's certain things that are true, like Adam and Eve. So I said, how do you know that's true?
Uh-huh.
And he starts stammering and carrying on. Because people don't realize how much they look to the Bible for things they want.
Yeah.
Amen.
So they pick and choose
what they
want. But God has made us spiritually alive, right?
Yeah.
You see, at the end of that chapter 2 that we just looked at, it says, for who can understand the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
That's great.
Thank you, Lord.
Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I could spend more time there. But what I wanted you to see is that because we've got this mind, we're going to use it a little bit today. Right?
Amen.
We're going to use our sanctified mind today. We need to think.
Amen.
And we need to think beyond just the surface level. You know?
Amen.
Just the shallow level, you know, just go on your favorite verses. Let's think. Again, it's like sports. You know, the coaches teach the participants, they teach the athletes the basic things. They start there, right?
Yeah.
But they can't stay there. You can't stay just simply doing the basic things. If you're going to progress, you have to learn more difficult moves, right?
Yeah.
Whatever the sport is, right? It doesn't matter what the sport is. And so you and I have been given these sanctified minds, and we need to go further.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus gave a little analogy with the disciples that they're going to have to push off from the bank, right? You can't just hang around the bank all. And the fishermen, know this. You catch different fish when you get away from the bank.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So we're going to have to risk it. We're going to have to get out of the boat. We're going to have to, by faith, we're going to have to go further.
Yes,
amen.
With our minds.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Then we're not looking for our understanding. We're
Amen.
Looking for what? God's understanding.
Yes, amen.
He's
yes.
given us the ability to understand him.
Yes.
That's what we're doing today.
Amen.
With the body I showed you on, that's the problem, is that people in that body are not always willing,
mm-hmm.
you see,
mm-hmm.
to go along, and so you got these problems with the body.
Folks want to hang back, and I don't see it there. That's my opinion. I don't like that. You see? But the head is the one that says,
"This is the way." Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Yes,
sir.
And everybody lines up under the head, and the body
amen.
Works
fine.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That's it.
That's
it.
So, I took these five verses, and I kind of dissected them this way. I said, the first thing we're going to do is to think about what Jesus has done for me. Right? And then we're going to think about what I must do for Jesus. You see?
You can't dwell on one or the other. And I see people do that all the time. You know, you get churches and all that they're doing is just sitting there sulking in there. All that God has done for them, what are you going to do?
Amen.
Right, I see people that get lost in all kinds of doctrines, you know. Their minds are all swollen up. But what are you going to do with it?
Yeah,
amen. See, amen. The Bible says that knowledge does what?
It
makes you arrogant if that's all you're going to do is just sit there and soak it up. You've got to do something with it.
Yeah.
And anybody that's been to school, you've been to college, you know it's the same thing. I did the same thing. All of these theories that I studied in college, you know, electrical engineering, all of these principles. Then I get out and go to work on a mundane job. You don't use it. I can't tell you.
Yeah.
I can't tell you 95% of what I learned in college.
Amen.
Because I didn't use it.
Uh-huh.
Then, wait. You don't use it. It was wonderful that you made, you know, that you learned it. But I promise you, if you don't use it, you won't.
Amen.
Anybody that's you know what I'm talking about, if you've been through that scenario.
So, think about what we must do. So, let's begin. You ready?
Amen.
All right. So, let's start with verse 1. Let's get back over here to Romans 12. Verse 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship.
Mm.
So, then Paul begins this chapter with therefore, right?
Yes.
Whenever you use the word therefore, you're what, looking backwards.
Amen.
That's right. So, in other words, because of what I said, therefore,
amen.
Consider what I'm about to say, right? So he's looking back on the past 11 chapters,
uh-huh.
and he's saying, we need to consider what I've told you. Now, obviously, it wasn't written in chapters, but he's consider what I've told you up to this point in this letter. Right? And look specifically for those things that were God's mercies.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when you know mercy is when God helps you in misery and in distress. You know God helped you when you were in misery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And when you're saved, you can realize God was helping you even before you
Amen.
Were saved.
Amen.
Amen.
When you thought you were slick, and when you thought that you can look
yeah.
back and realize that mercy was with me all along. Right?
Amen.
When we sing that old song, Grace and Mercy, right? Grace and mercy brought me through.
Uh-huh.
So he's saying, look back, and that's the reason the word is plural. See, you see? By the mercies of God. And so, because mercy means that God helped us in our misery and distress throughout life, I want you to think about, well, let's just take an example. Turn back to Romans 9. And Romans 9, here Paul is really holding the sovereignty of God before these Christians at Rome.
Yeah.
He's saying to them, God is alone in his authority.
Amen.
God does whatever he wills and whatever he wants, with whomever he wills and whatever he wants. And so he comes to this matter of sovereignty. And in verse 14, you got that? Romans 9:14. He says, what shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? In other words, I know what I've told you has been hard, that God loves some and hates others. And so are you going to sit in judgment of God? Because I told you that God loves someone and God hates another?
Uh-huh.
Are you going to sit back and say, that's not fair? Haven't you heard that?
Amen.
That
Amen.
Ain't fair.
Amen.
Who is the created to say to the creator that something's not fair? That's what he's getting at. Is there any injustice in God? By no means. Verse 15, for he says to Moses, I will have, look at that, what?
Mercy.
I don't know what your version says. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion.
Amen.
Why, God? Because I want to.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right? And the body doesn't say to the head, whoa, wait a minute. I don't like that doctrine. No, the body says, well, that's right. You have mercy on whom you want to, and you have compassion on whom you want to.
Yes.
And some of us are in families where it's so radically evident, right? Mm. So many family members got passed over and you didn't.
Mm.
Think of it.
Mm.
There's no explanation. Mm. You didn't live any better than they did.
Amen. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
But thank God he had mercy on you.
Yeah.
That's his point.
Yeah.
Yes. That's his point.
Yes.
Mm. It's all depends on God. And on whom he chose to have mercy.
Mm.
And so then 16, so it depends not on, look at this, human will or exertion,
yeah,
but on God who has what? Mercy.
Mercy.
Drop down to verse 23. Here he's been talking about the vessels of wrath. And verse 23, in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy,
yeah, mm-hmm,
which he has prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. This is just amazing. You ought to read Romans 9.
Yes,
just amazing.
Yes,
it just humbled you to see,
yeah,
that God has had mercy on us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Messy, ugly,
yeah,
life.
Yeah.
He just had mercy on
us.
Yes,
he did. Yes, he did.
And then there's other people in our families that are just still out there.
Yeah.
Just as lost and dead as anything. But he had mercy on us.
Thank you, Father.
Tremendous. Mercy is a tremendous thing. It's wonderful. And so I just ask you, you need to take some time and remember.
Yeah.
Oh, God had mercy on you.
Yeah.
See, I was 28 years old before I was saved, and so I got lots of messy stuff to look back on and think of how merciful God was.
Yes.
Merciful. I never would have made it if he hadn't had mercy on me.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Never. Mercy.
Mm.
Then verse 2, he talks about the will of God, right? Verse 1, he says, consider the mercies of God. Verse 2, he then wants us to think about the will of God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. God has chosen, you see, to reveal himself and his will.
Yes, it
is. Deuteronomy 29:29. I don't know if you've ever read that verse. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us and our children. So there's certain things about God's will that we're not going to know.
Right.
It's too, we couldn't understand it even if he told us, right?
Yes.
But so those are the secret things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes people, why did God do this and that? You know, you couldn't understand it even if he told you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so he says, just accept what I tell you. That's enough, right?
Yeah.
The things revealed belong to us and our children.
Yes.
So God has chosen to reveal himself and his will, and we're blessed. We're blessed because he lets us know what his will is.
Yes.
And so the thing is that God's will reveals his plans and his purposes for creation. Proverbs 16, I think it's verse 4. God has created all things for his purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble.
Amen.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Judas was created for a purpose. Pharaoh, one that you think was there's such an evil, awful. What's the murderer that killed all these people in California? It's still in prison now. Anyway, you know
Charles,
how
Manson.
Manson, and all these people. You know, these down through the years, it's been these. These are people that have done what you might consider to be awful things.
Mm-hmm.
God, they were created by God.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then you say, well, I can't figure that out. Well, you know, that's not for you to figure out.
Amen.
God created all people, all things for what? His purpose.
Yes.
And what he's revealed to you and me, just accept it.
Amen.
What do you have it? Trust what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yes.
Don't lean to how you figure it out.
Mm.
That's paraphrase, right? So, God's will cannot be improved upon. Can't get better than that. can't do any better than God. Once he has made it clear what he wants done, don't try to embellish it. You see, you can't do better than that. People trying to make the church better. You can't make the church better than what God has established.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You see, that's the problem when the head has said, "This is what I want the body to do." And you know, I don't. These fingers don't seem to be long enough. This, I need to adjust this, and I don't. We need to be taller. Or this,
yeah.
Just leave it alone. Uh-huh. What he has created it, just like you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We have been here. Every individual here has been what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Stop trying to be somebody else.
Amen.
He made you to be. You be the best you.
Amen.
Amen. Right?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You're free.
Come on, brother.
Free.
Amen.
Yeah. Some of us are never going to look like these posters. You know. Because God didn't create you to look like that. He created you to look like you. Now you need to be the best you
right. You
can be.
That's
different.
Different.
And the same with the body of Christ. We need to be the best body of Christ we can be. Or with our local church. We don't need to try to be like this church.
Amen.
Or that this or another. We need to be the best Trinity Community Church that we can be.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
That's it. It doesn't matter whether we got 10 or 10,000.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, that's irrelevant.
Uh-huh.
Just be the best local congregation.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
God never would have formed us if he didn't have a plan.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
He's got a purpose. He's got a purpose. He reveals his will through his word, through the Holy Spirit, and through circumstances. You remember when we studied Ephesians 1 talked about the excellence of God's will and his purpose. He doesn't have to counsel with anyone. You know, it's his will and his purpose. And he makes it known when he wants to. But you also may remember in Acts 16, if some of you all may remember when Paul and Timothy and Luke, they were on this second mission. You know, this journey that they were taking, going out to plant churches and visit other churches. And they thought they had set out to head to Asia.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that was their plan. But the Spirit of God kept preventing them. Remember that? They tried to get in, and the Spirit of God wouldn't let them go.
Yeah.
And so it said, eventually we discerned that it was God's will for us to go over to Macedonia, go over to Europe. That's how the gospel got in Europe. See? That was God's plan.
Amen.
And he made his will known because this door was closed. And you can't keep taking on them. You're determined to get this door. God says, no, no. You don't want to go in there.
Amen.
Let it alone.
Yeah.
You know how we did it. But be determined that I want this.
Yeah.
Okay? And sometimes God gets you headed on the way because he wants you to move.
Amen.
That doesn't mean that's exactly what he wants. He just needs you to move.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
And he'll show you, right? As you go, then he'll direct your path.
Amen.
Amen.
So he reveals his will oftentimes through circumstances.
Yes.
And haven't we seen that?
Amen.
I love the job and I got moved. Or, you know, I had bosses tell me that they were purposely putting me on this job.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think I was going to make it. And that's fine. When I was first hired, the boss told me, he said, I never had a black employee. But you know how to talk to me, you know. He's afraid to tell me how to dress. That was terrible. Big goatee, big old plaid pants, all this purple shirt. But I had to work with it. Work with it. Okay? Because we learn that if we don't let arrogance and pride sit in, you learn. Now, I wasn't a Christian, but I'm just saying this is an example. You learn about God's will if you don't. You're not so stubborn and arrogant that you got to have it your way. You see? And so it's circumstances. God gave me 27 years of a career at a company that started off. You know, I was a nobody. They wouldn't even give me a job title. I was a trial, electrical engineer. You know, out of the University of Arkansas, but you know the whole thing back in those days. And so I was an experiment. But God decided, God had determined that he's going to give me 27 years.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that. He made his will known as
Sermon
alone.
Right?
Through circumstances.
Okay. Then verse 3 talks about the grace of God. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Grace is wonderful, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Grace means that God gave us blessings rather than the punishment that we deserve. Mm. And every Christian can say amen.
Amen.
God gave us blessings rather than the punishment that we deserve. Grace means that from the beginning with salvation and through life, we do not get what we deserve. Mm. For by grace you have been saved.
Yes, sir.
By grace you have been saved. That not of yourself. It's a gift of God, right?
Amen.
Grace. And then that 1 Corinthians 15 takes, for by grace I am what I am. You're not right? Grace is active in me. Grace enables me. That 1 Corinthians 15:10. Grace enables us to do things that we didn't think we could do. You ever had that?
Amen.
You think that you can't hold out?
Yeah.
You couldn't persevere. Grace gets in there with you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It really does. Grace is active. Grace is powerful.
Yeah.
We just throw it around like grace is a powerful attribute of God.
Yeah.
Gets in tough situations with you.
Yeah.
Grace
helps
you hold your peace with you.
Yeah.
Everything in you wants to shout and wants to let loose. Right?
Yeah.
Grace.
Amen.
It's wonderful.
Amen.
We don't deserve it. God just gives it.
Yeah.
Because we belong to Him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because He doesn't want us to experience the consequences of us doing what we want to do.
Amen. Amen.
Isn't it good?
Amen.
See, that's what the head will do for you if you listen to Him.
Hmm.
We got to learn to think this way.
Amen.
Think this way. And then He speaks about the body of Christ. So we've looked at the mercies of God in verse 1, the will of God in verse 2. The grace of God in verse 3. And then in verses 4 and 5, he talks about the body of Christ. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members, one of another. We have been made one with Christ, and we are one in Christ. You see the difference? Those prepositions? One with Him. In other words, we've been joined to Christ, but we've also been what? Joined to each other. You remember the picture? That's the whole idea. The head, a head is not some segregated, isolated. That's strange. It's not strange for God. God can exist without us, but I'm just saying, with the picture that He gives us of Christ being the head,
amen,
the head is attached to the body, right?
Yes.
The body has been joined to Christ. We are one with Christ,
mm-hmm,
but you can't, unless you are in the body, it's not good enough just to hang around,
right?
Right? You got to be in the body.
Yeah.
So we got to be joined to each other.
Amen.
You know, it does no good for you to walk around with a kidney or something in your hand, and you think that's your body. That's not. That's not. But that's the function. It has to be what? Joined to your body.
Yes.
It has to be joined to the rest of the body parts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've been joined to Christ. We've been joined to each other.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
We're body. That's what He's saying.
Amen.
He said, "I want you to think about it. Think of what God has done for you. Think what He's done for you because of His mercy. Think what He's done for you because of His will and by grace. And think what He's done by making you a part of the body of Christ."
Amen.
Think.
Thank you, Lord.
Think about it.
Thank you, Lord.
Use that sanctified mind.
Yeah.
You have been given the mind of Christ. You've been given the understanding. You can understand this.
Yes.
This is not hard. Right? This is not hard. But we need to think about it.
Amen.
So that we can not find ourselves, and we'll get to that in a minute, thinking wrongly.
Mm.
Thinking wrongly. So, at conversion, the Holy Spirit places us individually in the universal body of Christ. Let me show you this. I don't know if some of you have seen this before, but others may not. So I want everybody to be together. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13. First Corinthians, did I put that up there? I didn't. So, but anyway, make note of that. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13. Very important. It says this. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were made to drink of one spirit. You see? We, at conversion, we were brought into the body of Christ. You can't get in unless he brings you
Amen.
In.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Right. Can't get in by just walking in here and say, for example, joining Trinity. Joining Trinity does not mean you're in the body of Christ. Or in the other church. You understand? So you have to be brought into the universal body, right?
Amen.
The big body, Amen. Including Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and everybody else.
Amen.
You have to be brought into
Amen.
That body.
Yes.
And then he leads you to a local.
Amen.
You got to be in the body before you can become a part
Amen.
Of
the local
Amen.
Body. You see how it works?
Yes.
Look at verse 18. 1 Corinthians 12, 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them as he chose. Isn't that interesting? God has arranged. God is the one who's put this thing together.
Amen.
And then verse 24, talking about the different parts of the body, which those which are more presentable parts do not require. But then look at the end of 24. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it.
Amen.
This is amazing. He's doing it. He's putting it all together. And so the members in the body, the people in the body, have to think right. We have to realize that where we are is because of God.
Yes.
This is what Jesus has done for me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be here if he hadn't done this for me.
Yes.
I wouldn't be a part of the body of Christ.
Yes.
I wouldn't be a part of this local body of Christ if Jesus hadn't done that for me.
Yes.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about people that are just members of this church. You know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
I'm talking about people that really are Christians.
Amen.
It wouldn't be true if Jesus hadn't done that for you. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right thinking. Right? That's right thinking that'll lead you to right service.
Amen.
Because we can't get to the second thing here unless you get this right.
Amen.
You have to have this right first. You have to know what Jesus has done for you before you start talking about what you are going to do for Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
And unfortunately, you've got people doing just the opposite.
Mm.
They've offered themselves and their services. They don't know anything about being enlightened, saved. They're just bringing that natural mind, trying to apply it to finances and all the other business of the church. And that's the reason the body is all messed up.
Yeah,
Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Okay, so then we're going to think about what I must do for Jesus. Now we need to rehearse these same truths again. The first time we looked at the mercies of God, it was in regard to what Jesus has done for me. Now we're going to look at the mercies of God as it refers to what I must do for Jesus. You get the difference?
Yes.
We're rehearsing these same verses again, but now we're looking at what I, because these verses tell us what I and you, what we must do for Jesus. Verse 1 again, listen to it. I appeal to you, therefore. You see, he's making an appeal to brothers. That's to all of us. That's to those of us who are in the body of Christ. By the mercies of God. Now, here's what you and I are to do. To present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You couldn't do that if you hadn't realized what Jesus had done
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
All right? Now he's saying, because God has saved you out of your misery and distress, you know that you wouldn't be out of that misery and distress if God hadn't brought you out. You'd still, because you got friends and you got relatives that are still doing the same thing.
Right.
And if God hadn't had mercy on you, you wouldn't have been brought out. But because he's brought you out, because he's brought you out, now we should willingly make our bodies available for sacrificial service. You get it?
Amen.
You look back on the mercy of God and you say, Lord, You did this for me. I make myself available to you.
Yes.
You got it?
Yes.
But now you notice he said bodies. That's the literal word in Greek. What do you think he's getting at? I think the point is this. He's not saying give you money. Now you know, but we already read today. You're supposed to give your money.
Yes.
But he's saying not just your money.
Amen.
Right?
Yourself.
Yes, sir. You got it?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
How often times do we say, I don't have time?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. You don't have time for the one who delivered you out of your mercy and distress?
Yes.
That's the thing. You say, that's what Paul is getting at.
Yes.
How can you say you don't have time?
Yes.
Amen.
What you're saying is something else is more important. That's what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that true?
Uh-huh.
So he doesn't just want our money, but our time and our talent.
Amen.
And this only happens. And you notice, look at verse 1 again. He says, as a living sacrifice. So, first of all, you have to be a living sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Life. Now, we already looked at dead people.
Yes.
Unbelievers. You got, if you're living, what does that mean? You've been born again.
Yeah.
You got to be a living sacrifice. He said, holy. That word means sanctified, set apart.
Yeah.
You got to dedicate yourself to this.
Yes.
Thing. If God was willing to save me, I'll be willing to dedicate myself to whatever He wants me to do.
Yes.
Do it with my whole heart.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't play this. You see, I'm not playing at this.
Yeah.
That's what you have to. You have to think this way.
Yeah.
This is my job.
AJ
told me he was a guard, I believe, on the team. Okay. If he doesn't do his job, the other four can be doing their job, but the team is affected if the guard doesn't do his job.
Yeah.
Right? So I have to accept the fact that if God has called me into this local congregation, if this is what I'm assigned to do, I do it with all my heart.
Yeah.
I'm dedicated to it.
Amen.
And I want to please God.
Amen.
It's acceptable to God. You got that?
Yes.
Okay. So the other thing, then, as we look at the will of God, look at it again. Do not be conformed to this world. Right? But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So, we, because God has made His will known to us, we must resist the pressure from this world to make us adopt the way they think.
Amen.
All of us get it.
Yes.
It doesn't matter where you work. It doesn't matter where you spend time.
Mm-hmm.
We all get it. I get it in my circle. You get it in your circle.
Amen.
There's this pressure. You know, I just told you about this one guy I was talking to at the gym. He felt that he could pressure me into thinking that the Bible is not all true.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't realize that you can't do that.
Uh-huh.
I'm fully convinced that it's true.
Yeah.
Yes,
sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Your pressure won't change that.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Right? Even if I got questions I can't answer, that does not mean the Bible is not true.
Amen.
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 You get it?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so, here's the thing. We must resist the pressure that comes from people to think like the world. It doesn't matter if it's coming from the president or the pope.
Amen.
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 Right? It doesn't matter if it's coming from the CEO of your place of work or a co-worker.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It doesn't matter if it's coming from a neighbor or a parent, if it's coming from a cult or the church itself.
Uh-huh.
If it's the world thinking, you resist it.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. That's what it says. Why? Because God has made, if God was willing to make His will known to me, I'm willing to resist what I know is not His will.
Amen.
I don't care. It doesn't matter who's telling me. My mother, my father, this doesn't matter. My parents.
Come on, brother.
We've all had it. If you've got unsaved people in your life.
That's right.
True.
Bosses. I mean, it's all this everywhere.
Yeah.
But he says, don't be conformed.
Yeah.
Right? To the world's way of thinking. Because you and I, if you're a Christian, you know God is the source of wisdom.
Amen.
God is the source of truth, right? Wisdom from above is what we want, right?
Yes.
Pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruit. That's, we want God's wisdom. So our minds, here's the point, our minds must be filled with the Word of God and controlled by the Word of God. Colossians 3:2 and 16. Transformed, I know some of you have heard this before, metamorpho, right? You know what it sounds like? Metamorphosis, you've heard that, right?
In relation
to butterflies, primarily. And so the idea is just as that you look at that worm or that caterpillar, it looks one way on the outside, but it's going to change. Right? The outward appearance is going to change. And so he says, don't be pressured into thinking like the world. You need to be changed outwardly to conform to what's in you.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. If the truth is in you, then you let truth work its way out.
Amen.
Whatever the cost,
Amen.
Don't hide. That's what he said. Don't hide and try to pretend. Mm-hmm. Don't try to just fit in so that you can keep your job.
Amen.
I've had that too.
Mm.
And so, the will of God then says to you and me, you must match on the outside what's true on the inside.
Yes.
Okay? Got that?
Amen.
Thirdly, the grace of God. Look at that in verse 3. By the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned to him. In this case, grace means that I didn't earn it, right? Grace means that I didn't merit it. I'm not getting what I deserve. So because we did not earn or merit our special skills or our abilities, we must not be what? Proud or arrogant.
Yes.
There's not a one of us in here that has any basis for pride. For pride.
You're right. You're right.
Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. Anything we have, God did it. Well, of good. Right? Any Christian knows that. Anything we have of good came from the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And so there's no basis for pride or arrogance. God gave us special abilities or gifts, even though we were undeserving. That's grace. That's grace. Therefore, this verse says to you and me, there must not be any exaggerated self-worth.
Mm. Amen.
Don't think of yourself as so important that the church, quote, needs you.
Well.
Now, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We all play a vital role, but don't let that start affecting your thinking. We've all seen it. Pride, what? Goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it again and again and again with people in the church. And it starts with what? Wrong thinking. Thinking exaggerated self-worth thoughts about me. I really am pretty important. Nobody says that. It's not what you say. It's what? It's what you think. That's what he's saying. Be careful not to start having those kinds of thoughts about yourself. Now you're talking to who? Christians? Christians? So be careful with. You know, that's what I tell people. The very minute you say, I'm what? Humble. You're in trouble. The very minute you think you have arrived, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
We're striving. Right? We're striving to be conformed. Are you where Jesus is? So, you know, you can't, well, Jesus is the one. We have just heard that this morning. Jesus is the example for humility. If you're not there yet, don't worry, I'm talking about you humble. You're being humble.
Yeah.
All of us are being humble. That Bible calls it being sanctified, right?
Yeah.
The sin in all of us.
Yeah.
That pride is still there. If it's flushed out, it comes out in different ways. We got different levels of pride. Yeah, we do.
Amen.
And then finally, the body of Christ. In these verses which we read earlier, you see that because we've been joined to Jesus and each other, we're dependent upon Jesus and we're dependent upon each other.
Mm.
Now here's the point that these verses are making. I want you to get this as we try to close. because of this, we must value diversity.
Yeah.
Okay? There's no place in the church, the body of Christ that I showed you before. There's no place there to try to make every body function do the same thing
mm-hmm.
or look the same way.
Amen.
We must value diversity in function.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We need each one to do what you were called to do.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So we value that diversity in your whatever your function or your ministry is. Do it with your whole heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we support you because when you do it, that helps who? That helps us all.
Yeah.
But then we also must value unity in our structure for our neighbor.
Hmm.
You cannot be a maverick.
Amen.
You cannot operate in isolation. We want you to do it with all your heart, but we want you to do it with who? Everybody
Amen.
In mind.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Right?
Yes.
That's what he's getting at here in these two verses. Right thinking leads to right service. Now, I spent a lot of time here, but this is so important. Okay.
Amen.
Before we get into the gifts, this is what you have to keep in mind.
Amen.
Because once you start discovering what you're called to do, you got to be careful with your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You got to remember this fits into the big picture.
Amen.
All right. Again, it'd be like one of the boys here, if they want them to find out that they were assigned to, let's say they were going to play in forward. And they put him at guard and they realized, whoo, this is it. I mean, forward was bad. I couldn't help. But I love guard. This is where I'm effective. Well, you got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you find where you work best doesn't mean that you still can't, you have to consider the whole. But
come on, brother. Come on.
That's what's going to happen as some of you discover your gifts. You got to remember that it fits.
Yeah.
Amen.
Into the whole.
Mm.
Don't get lost in your gift and forget
the body.
Got it? Y'all know that colleges offer students scholarships, right? Scholastic scholarships, athletic scholarships. Not only colleges, businesses offer select scholarships to students, right? Hospitals or the military. You know, all of these various organizations offer scholarships to students.
Mm.
But now, each one of these organizations expects what?
Mm.
Something in return.
Yes.
They paid for your education. They expect you to return something back.
Mm.
If a college is giving you an athletic scholarship, what are they expecting? They expect you to perform in that, not go to some other school, perform in that school, right? Or if a company is, they have internship, they have different, I think the words, they have these arrangements where a company would sponsor you, but they expect you to come back on summers or whatever and give them what? Some service or, you know the plans of retirement. And so that's reasonable. It's reasonable that somebody pays your debt that you reply and respond with reasonable service.
Amen.
Amen.
You got that?
Amen.
Well, now, if you can see that with companies, surely you can see if God, if Jesus came and he paid a whole lot more than the debt for 3 or 4 years.
Amen.
He paid the debt all of time and eternity.
Yes.
And it's reasonable to give him service.
Amen.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Amen.
That's right. Thank you. That's right thinking. That's right thinking. So, I say this to you. We were lost, blind, deaf, dumb, and spiritually dead.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
No one could help us. We couldn't even help ourselves.
Yeah.
That's where we were. We were slaves to sin. Slaves to Satan.
Yeah.
But because of God's great love, God sent his son.
Yes, he did.
He sent his son. He said, they can't pay that sin debt. Sent his son. And Jesus came.
Yeah.
Jesus came willingly. He came to live a righteous life that none of us could live.
Mm-hmm.
This is amazing, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And he came to die the perfect death, that it wasn't matter how many of us died.
Well,
if Jesus hadn't died, we'd still be in our sin.
Yeah.
And so he came. He lived the righteous life, and so you can have this. This is your righteousness.
Yeah.
I put this righteous life in your account.
Mm.
He died the substitutionary death, and he said, I'm dying for you.
Yeah.
But then he rose to guarantee that God was satisfied.
Yeah.
Yes.
When he said, it's finished, it really was.
Amen. Amen.
The debt was paid.
Yes.
And all he says to you and me now is, give me reasonable.
Mm.
So it's reasonable. Jesus paid it all.
Yeah.
Paid it all. It's all to him that we owe. And if you're not a Christian, this is good news for you.
Yes, sir.
If you're not a Christian. And see, I don't know if it's a Christian. The only we'll all find out one day.
Amen.
Right? Paul says that it's best just to save judgment for that great day.
Yes, sir.
Because God is the only one that what? Sees the heart.
Amen.
Yes.
But if you are not a Christian, this is good news.
Hmm.
Because Jesus is the Lamb of God that came to take away your sins.
Amen.
Today your sins could be forgiven.
Yes.
If it includes anyone in here, your sins could be forgiven.
Thank you, Lord.
Believe it. Trust in him.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Trust in him only. I want to end. Never know I've been long today, but I want to end with some verses from 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I want you to listen. You can turn there if you want. 1 Timothy 1. These are so, this is incredible. Listen to this testimony of Paul after realizing what grace and mercy has meant for him. 1 Timothy 1. I'm going to begin reading at verse 13. The second sentence in verse 13. He talks about his past life. He was formerly a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent. Mm. Then he starts out with, but. Listen to this. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
And the grace of the Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost.
Yes.
But I received, look at that, mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life.
Yes.
To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only, he can't help but praise him, you see. After he looks at, he looks back at what God has done for him, he can't help, he just breaks out into praise, right in the middle of his letter, breaks out into praise. It says, to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Father, for the grace and mercy shown to us. Thank you for making your will known. And then, Lord, thank you for bringing us into the body of Christ. Help us today to see and more clearly, with greater clarity and with greater resolve, why this is our reasonable service to you. Lead us now that we might serve you in a way that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you to do something a little different today. Let's stand. And I actually want us to sing this song. Can you stand?
Yes.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Let's watch and pray, find in me thine all and all.
Verse 2.
Lord, now indeed I find
Jesus died, my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He was hid white as snow. The softly the cries, Jesus paid it all. Oh, to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He Praise the Lord. You may be seated.